You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
It's great to see all of you here this morning. It's a beautiful day, and it's an exciting day for Westside. Today we launch our new weekly service down in Cameron Park at 10 o'clock. They're going to be starting in about 33 minutes. And it's very exciting part of who we are as a church. If you're newer to Westside, what we're doing is we have three services every weekend here, and we're launching a fourth service down there in Cameron Park. And so we have almost 60 people from Westside who have committed to be part of that new church, and I'm very, very excited about that. And so I'm glad you're here this morning, because if you weren't here, we'd probably just go home. And so if nobody was here, right? And how many have been here a long, long time at Westside? You've been here for over a decade. We appreciate your longevity and your faithfulness. How many have been here just less than a year here at Westside? Less than a year. We're so glad you guys are here, too. It's awesome. And everybody in between. And we're starting a new series today, actually. It's on Ecclesia, the church. That's God's called out ones. The church is not a building or an institution. The church is God's design. It's his people. There's two faces of the church. There's the church universal, and that is all believers from all time. So if you've said yes to Jesus, made him Lord of your life, you're part of the church that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then the other expression of church we see in the Bible are local churches. Local churches are groups of believers who are called out. They gather together to worship God, to hear from him. There's structures in place that we see in the New Testament with government and things like that. And there's a wonderful continuity. And then that church is responsible for representing Jesus in their region. And so around the world, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of churches have met. We're sort of at the tail end of the time spectrum. I don't know if you knew that, because it's already 6:30 Monday morning in New Zealand. So they did this here almost 24 hours ago. And then around the world, millions and millions and millions of believers have celebrated and worshiped our Lord. Isn't that awesome that we get to be part of it? We're not it, but we're part of it. And Jesus is it. So today I'm going to finish the message that I started last week on New Year's Eve. And I think it's been about five times in my 18 years here at Westside that I haven't finished a sermon. So I'm kind of glad that it worked out the way it is, because this one will actually launch us into the series of Ecclesia. I'm going to talk about some things that we don't normally talk about on Sunday morning. Maybe we'll go through a scripture or have a topic or things like that. But I'm going to share with you 10 things that are very, very important to us as to how we operate Westside. So if you're newer to Westside, this is good information. This is really good for you to hear this. And then next week, we're starting our series in Philippians. We're going to go through the book of Philippians, and we're going to hunt for all the signs of a healthy church in Philippians. Amen? So, Father, I pray that you'd be with us this morning. I pray that you'd open our hearts, open our minds as we hear from you, as we see the things that are important for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you that are prayers, I'd appreciate your prayer. I've been fighting, I guess it's a cold. I don't feel bad, but my throat has been rebelling for the last few days. And so I've got my throat coat here that I stole from Mike. And I'll take sips to coat my throat as we go through here. And looking forward to this. So this is New Year's week. And a lot of people don't like making New Year's resolutions, about half of you. About half of you, you think that's okay. But I'm going to give you 10 things that are very important to us, and I would encourage you to make those your life resolutions, or at least maybe one or two of them will really stand out to you. And don't tweak them, but apply them to your life, how it fits in your life. So first of all, Jesus is first in everything. And like I said, I shared this one last week, spent quite a while on it. Jesus is the one we love. He's the one we serve. He's the one we live for. He's the reason we're here. He's the reason we're set free. He's the reason that we have real life, true life. He's the creator of this universe. I love this passage out of Colossians that Paul speaks about Jesus. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Almighty God, the creator of this universe, unknowable to us as human beings. So he became one of us so that we could know who he is. We absolutely, clearly, totally are in love with Jesus. He's first in everything. Number two, the Word of God is our operating document. Everything that we need here on this earth as believers, as Christ followers, is in this Word, what we call the Word of God. This is the infallible Word of God. We believe it cover to cover. We believe that everything that human beings need to know is in here. Now, God knows a whole lot more than what's in here, but everything we need to know is in here. And this is alive, and it's powerful, and it's rich, and it changes lives. And it's what we go by. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says this to Timothy, his young protege, young minister. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And so this is how we operate. So if we want to look at how churches run, there's a lot of stuff in here about church government and how we see eldership leading local churches. We have eldership government here at this church. It's what we see in Scripture. Just like Scripture says, mom and dad are the leadership team of the home. That's what we see in Scripture. And everything we need for our finances and for parenting and for our work relationships and how we conduct ourselves in the world and how we do things, everything is in his Word. And that's the vast majority of what we do. We have several employees here at the church, and we have some office policies and things like that, but that's just minuscule compared to the overreaching impact of the church, where we do believe that the greatest ministry team in this church are the saints. And if you've said yes to Jesus, if you've made him Lord of your life, you're a saint. That's what the Bible says. And the purpose of the church is to come together so that the saints get equipped, encouraged, strengthened, built up, so that they can go out in their respective spheres of influence and represent Jesus well. We really do believe that. We really do believe that we are called to fulfill the Great Commission, to share the good news of Jesus everywhere we go. And all of us have a part to play in that. All of us won't take somebody from A to Z and becoming a disciple of Christ, but we all can do something along the way. Some of us are friendly and have engaging smiles and we're hospitable. We open our homes up and invite people in. Some of us have the ability to sit down and explain scriptures to people. And others of us, work with kids. And so we're all involved in this process of discipleship, from somebody who doesn't know anything about God, going through the whole process of becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. That's discipleship. So we do use the Bible as our operating document. And the Bible says that the church doesn't exist for itself or for its own benefit. The church exists to bring glory and honor to God. Someone once said that the church is the only institution that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Does that make sense? Well, the reason we're here is for a lost and hurting world out there, to give them hope. Of course, we receive huge benefit, family and friendship and those kind of things, and hope and forgiveness and freedom in Christ, all that. But we primarily are here to represent Jesus to the world out there. Number three, word and spirit. We must have both. Now, God is an and God. And this is something that would be very beneficial for us to learn early on in our walk with God. God is an and God. You know, when I was 30 years old, I had everything figured out. Do you know who just chuckled? We're the older guys. Because life gives you perspective. And we might have it figured out from this angle, sure, but if you just take a step sideways over here and look at the same thing, oh, this is true too. And what I had thought I had figured out as I get older, that's true too. And I can have a greater respect. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm just talking about wisdom. And so if we learn early that God is an and God, for example, can a car save your life? Yeah, if you're dying, you got to get to the hospital right away. Somebody drives you there. Sure, it could save your life. Can a car kill you? Absolutely. Can water save your life? Sure. Can it kill you? Yep. Well, which is true? Does it save you or kill you? They're both true. They seem to contradict one another, but they're both true. You just have to be happy with that. That's called truth intention. Truth intention. So when the Bible says that Jesus was full of grace and truth, grace, if we kind of get it down in our normal vernacular, grace is kind of shades of gray and cutting people some slack. You know, that person's a big grace extender. They extend grace all the time. And Jesus did that. He wasn't condemning to people who were lost, but he was full of truth. Truth is black and white. Grace seems to be shades of gray. Well, what was Jesus? Full of truth or full of grace? He was full of grace and truth at the same time. And this church, we want to be a church that is a church that's full of the Word and the Spirit. The Word tends to be more like truth. This is, Jesus said, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus is the Word of God, and there's some things in here that are very black and white, and there's no negotiation on them. And there's a whole lot of stuff that we need, that's necessary for the Spirit of God to come in and move and change and adjust. You can't just beat somebody over the head with the Bible and expect the Spirit of God to touch their heart. And you can't just go around having the Spirit of God touch their hearts without giving people some meat to live by. So we want to be a church that's full of the Word and the Spirit. The Word is the absolute and uncompromising truth of God's Word. And the Spirit is the power and the presence of Almighty God in our midst by His Holy Spirit, the Word and the Spirit. My son planted a church in Houston about 10 years ago. And while they were getting ready, they had a launch team that they met in a house for about 6 months, and they had about 30, 40 people that got bigger and bigger, and they were getting ready to plant this church. And what they did was they met on Sunday afternoons, and Sunday mornings they would fan out over the whole region and go attend different churches just to see what the region was like, introduce themselves around, and see what God was doing. And they came up with this big conclusion. There's a whole lot of churches here, because in El Dorado County, about 5% of the population goes to church every week. And in Texas, about 85% of the population goes to church every week. That's why they call it the Bible Belt. It's just what you do. It's part of their culture. But they said there's a whole lot of churches where they preach the Word, And there's a whole lot of churches where there's the presence of God in their midst, but there's very few churches, almost none, that have the Word and the Spirit. We need both of those. And it's truth in tension. God is an and God. When he told us to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, he didn't say go to Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or the uttermost parts of the earth. He's an and God. And so that's a good thing that we can learn. Number four, this is very important. This is how we operate as a church. We will operate with integrity and honesty. Integrity and honesty. A good definition of integrity is who you are when no one's looking. It's a good definition of integrity. Young people, you can remember that. For others of us, integrity is keeping a commitment after which the circumstances under which the commitment was made have changed. So you gave your word on something, the circumstances change, you go, no, I don't have to do any more of the word, like that. So Daniel, he made a commitment to the Lord when he was a young man. There was a revival in Israel, and then their nation got overrun by the Babylonians, and they got taken away. He got taken away as a slave into a foreign language, or a foreign nation, where he didn't know the language. His pastor wasn't around, his parents weren't around, his older brothers and sisters weren't around. He could do anything he wanted. That would be like some of you young people being kidnapped and taken to Las Vegas and say, anything goes, whatever you want to do, it stays here, nobody's going to know. And Daniel said, no, I made a commitment to the Lord, and I'm going to keep my commitment, even though the circumstances have changed. That's integrity. And we're going to operate this church with integrity and honesty. If we give our word on something, we're going to keep our word, and we're going to pay our bills on time, and we're going to, even with copyright licenses, we're going to pay those if they're due. Whenever you show a song up here, you'll see down at the bottom is a little copyright information. We pay a license fee for that because we want to do things with honesty and with integrity. And so our business dealings, behind the scene, things like that. Number five, we will always speak with words of life. Probably the first three are, you know, those are the big ones. The other ones, the order of importance could be adjusted. We will always speak words of life. This is a big deal. I believe this is one of the keys to the health of our church, why we have so many people here who are friends, have strong, lasting relationships, is speaking words of life. You know, there's an old saying you learned when you're a little kid that sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's a big lie, because words hurt, and words hurt deep. We've all recovered from cuts and scrapes and stitches and casts and broken bones and things like that. But words spoken over us can hurt decades later, and they wound deeply. You can see somebody's countenance fall when somebody speaks harshly to them in a negative way. I'm not talking about a correction that's needed to get someone's attention once in a while. As a parent, God will speak to us strongly once in a while to get our attention, right? But I'm talking about things that would be put-downs or belittling or making fun of or those kind of things. Words of life. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. And so your little tongue has the ability, James says, to set a forest on fire. Your tongue is like a little rudder. A rudder will turn a huge ship around. And the words that we speak are like little sparks that bring forth life or death. You can actually speak to somebody and see them swell. I used to be a school teacher, and you'd say something that would lift a child's heart and spirit. You're speaking life into them. Or as parents, you can speak life into your kids. Or you can rip them to shreds and tear them down and cause wounds that take maybe forever to get healed up and fixed up. And so I want to encourage you, our words are very, very important. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth with a slide rule and a laser beam and an impact hammer. Impact screw gun. That's like the best invention of the last 100 years, as far as I'm concerned. And it's in. Like, yeah, that is so good. But God didn't create the world that way. God created the world by saying, let there be light. He spoke the universe into existence. Then he created man and woman in his image. We're created in the image of God. If his words are important, our words are important. Are these words of life? Dear Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I believe you are who you said you are, and you did the things that you said you would do, and that you died for my sin, that you rose again on the third day. Please forgive my sin and become Lord of my life. Are those words of life? You better believe they are. And they're words. They're words. Yes, they come out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks, but words are an indicator or a signpost of where our heart is positioned. And so we want to speak words that build up. In Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, out of the New International Version, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in God, Christ forgave you. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. So he forgave us, we can forgive others. So we can speak words that build up and edify. We can walk and extend forgiveness. I forgive you. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. Just like love is a choice. It's not a feeling. Feelings come and go. But the commitment to forgive, the commitment to love, that lasts. Number six, how we operate as a church. We operate this church with excellence. Now, you might think that's debatable. What I say by excellence is we're doing the best we can with what we have to work with, right? Okay, so that's what I mean by excellence. I love this passage of scripture in 1 Kings when the Queen of Sheba, yeah, there actually was a Queen of Sheba, and she visited Solomon. Now, Solomon was David's son, so King Solomon is known as the wisest man who ever lived. He wrote most of the Proverbs. He had knowledge that nobody else had because the Lord gave him this wisdom. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, which brought honor to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a large group of attendants and a great caravan of camels loaded with spices, large quantities of gold, and precious jewels. By the way, when she left the gold there, and it was over $5 billion or $6 billion worth of gold she gave Solomon as a gift. It's nice to have friends like that, huh? She met with Solomon, talked with him about everything she had on her mind. Solomon had answers for all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba realized how very wise Solomon was, and when she saw the palace he had built, this is getting into the excellence area now, she was overwhelmed. She was also amazed at the food on his tables, the organization of his officials and their splendid clothing, the cupbearers and the burnt offerings Solomon made at the temple of the Lord. She exclaimed to the king, everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true. I didn't believe what was said until I arrived here and saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I had not heard the half of it. Your wisdom and prosperity are far beyond what I was told. How happy your people must be. What a privilege for your officials to stand here day after day listening to your wisdom. Here's the result. Praise the Lord, your God, who delights in you and has placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king so you can rule with justice and righteousness. So that's a value for us. We will operate with excellence in everything that we do. And so that's in our services here. That's in the music that we do. We'll do the best we can with what we have. The classes that we teach, we're not going to compromise. How we conduct ourselves, the overheads and projection and the graphics, we're going to try to make them reasonably as good as we can, as excellent as we can. Our decorations, the building and property. Now, if you look around this building and you're honest, you're probably going to say, yeah, this is a kind of a little funky property. I'll tell you what, we are thankful for this property. We're so grateful to God that he's given us something in Placerville area that's relatively flat. Maybe that's why they called it Missouri Flat Road. And so we've got a couple acres here and about 7,000 or 8,000 square feet of stuff that we use. Yeah, we got to have 3 or 4 services a week in here to fit everybody in. But we do the best we can with what we have. If you walk around here and you see something amiss, you see something that's not safe, you walk to the Welcome Center, ask for a yellow piece of paper and say a request, and you write down what the problem is and you turn it in. And if it's a safety issue, we have a 48-hour turnaround policy. Something that is not safe, we'll fix it if we can. If it's just, you know, your opinion, like, you know, we're too close to those wires up there, PG&E, we're all going to get third eyeballs or something, we can't do anything about that. But the stuff that we can, we will fix right away. We want to operate with excellence. We start on time. That's a big deal in our culture. I know, you guys. You go to the movies and it's supposed to start at 8 and it's 8:01. You're going, like this. I know you are. You expect things to start on time. We will start our meetings on time. We don't end. We don't have a time where we end. We can go 1 hour and 5 minutes, 1 hour and 20 minutes. It depends on what God's doing during that day, but we're going to start on time. So when you know service starts at 9, it's going to start at 9. Even how we fold our brochures in our paper, it's got to be, the corners have to be exact. My kids, when I was a classroom teacher and they come in and help me fold papers or something, I said, no, that's not good enough. And my son grew up saying that he thought that I was anal. And I said, no, I'm thorough. And he goes, yeah, thoroughly anal. So, like, but I want to do the best we can with what we have. Things are going to look good. We're going to do things right. And so, you know, we can't compete with Hollywood. They'll spend $100 million to entertain you for 2 hours. We can't even touch that. But Hollywood can't give you family or hope or forgiveness, or freedom, or the true values that last for eternity. Number 7, unity. Psalm 133, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. So, unity is a big deal. And unity doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't. If you've ever coached a team before, you might have a team, but it doesn't mean they are a team. See the difference? They got to work together. So if you go back to the heyday of the Lakers in the 80s when they won a bunch of national championships, you'll notice that they didn't have the best basketball players on their team, but they had the best team because they worked together so well. Magic Johnson was a key to that. He often sacrificed his own points for a pass and made it was a catalyst to cause the team to work together well. And we want to be a team here. We don't want to just do things in an isolated way, but we want to be in a spirit of unity. And the Greek word for two is di. So we have a vision here at Westside. We want to have one vision, not a division. Division is two visions. And we're going to go one way. We're all going to pull the same direction. Even the winners on a tug of war are tired. Why on earth would we have a tug of war in the first place? Why can't we all pick up one side of the rope and just pull together? It's really easy to do that. Really easy to do that. And you can go a long way when you do that. So there's things in our statement of faith that are non-negotiable. You get look on our website or look in our brochures. We're not going to negotiate on the foundational values. There is one God, eternally existent, three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. This is God's Word. It is the only written, and it's infallible, an eternal Word of God for us today. And Jesus Christ is God Almighty, like we just read out of Colossians. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. There's a few things that we're not going to budge on. We're not going to waver on. There's a whole lot of stuff where there's lots of shades of disagreement. We can see things from a different angle. We're not going to fight over whether we have blue chairs or green chairs. We're not going to fight over the color of the carpet, or we're not going to fight over some smaller points of theology where godly men and women see it differently. We're not going to fight over those things. We're going to operate in unity. Number eight, we're going to be thankful people. Psalm 100, where it says, give thanks. Enter, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Whenever you start to worship God, whenever you start to pray, start it out with thanksgiving. That's why on our first Wednesday prayer, we always start with testimonies, thanking God for how good and for how awesome he is. We're actually surrounded and we live in an entitlement culture, increasingly so. Where everything, yeah, it's due to me. That's, yeah, I get my due like this instead of thank you. Thank you. Young people, have you written thank you notes to your parents yet for all those gifts they gave you at Christmas or your grandma? Thank them. Not just, thank grandma. You know, in the back of the car, everybody, they all have an ice cream cone. I'm telling on you now, young people. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Someone says, say thank you. Or one kid says thank you, and everybody goes, thank you, like this. No, you got to come on your knees. You got to have tears in your eyes. You got to say thank you so much, mom and dad. How many of you ever thanked your mom for carrying you for 9 months? The most uncomfortable, I'm told. More than that. Be thankful. And most of all, be thankful to Almighty God for forgiving your sin and taking his punishment on himself. Generosity, we're going to operate with generosity. I'll tell you what, nobody is more generous than God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'll tell you what, if you are frustrated because you can't be generous because of your financial restrictions, you need to be in the Financial Peace University class this Tuesday night in here. Mark and Kathy are going to lead it. It's a biblical class. I have encouraged everybody in Westside to attend it. We've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now. And so this is an opportunity to take this class. Whether you're just a young person starting out, whether you're trying to buy a home, whether you're getting ready for retirement, do things God's way. It's biblical, good biblical advice. And so, number 10, a servant's heart. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, Peter says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And you could simplify those verses there saying that everyone has a gift. The gift is you. You're the gift, and nobody's gift is the same. A lot of times we think, oh, I only have one gift. No, your gift is this huge package of your natural talents, your God-given abilities, your parenting, your education, your failures, your successes, all wrapped up, make you the person, and you yourself are a gift to this church. If you're newer here, there's a place here for you, and your gift is desperately needed, and you need our gift. And so we use our gift to serve others so that God gets the glory. We want to be a people that have servant's heart like Jesus got on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing one last song.